Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Thank you for joining me for the Bob Hope Show. This is episode number 392, and it originally aired on November 9th, 1948. Here now is Bob Hope with his special guest, Jack Benny.
Well, I swan.
Me too.
So do I.
How about you?
Yes, it's the new Swan Show with our great singing star, Doris Day.
Well, I swan.
A new singing favorite, Bill Farrell.
That's me.
Our guest, Jack Benny, Irene Ryan, the Four Hits and a Miss, the new Les Brown Band.
We use Swan exclusively. How about you?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me? My name is Robert Hopalong Hope.
And now, Bob Hope's Swan's Eye View of the News. Princeton, New Jersey. Hurried conferences and frantic alibis were the order of the day here as the nation's poll takers sought to explain their disastrous error in predicting the results of last week's election.
Dr. Gallup was amazed at the outcome, but he wouldn't admit he was wrong. Last night, he was still peeking into the White House window and singing, "Maybe You'll Be There." He was really unhappy. When he saw the election returns, he exclaimed, "It's the last time I take a house-to-house survey. From now on, I'm going to ask people." I called up Elmer Roper and said, "How can your predictions be so wrong?" He said, "You see, we mathematicians make a prodigious effort to ascertain by statistical and prognostication and political prestidigitation the approximate parallelisms." I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Where can I get a job?" And last Tuesday night, Drew Pearson said over the radio, "I predict Dewey will be elected by 10:30. At 11 o'clock, he said, "I predict Dewey." At 12, he said, "I predict." The next morning, he said, "Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi-yi."
New York, New York. Phone company executives announced here today that telephones for automobiles were at long last ready and available for Mr. Average Motorist.
I had a phone put in my car last week, but the wires must be crossed. Every time I step on the starter, the spark plugs give a busy signal and the receiver squirts a quart of hot oil in my ear. But they're a big help to the motorist. If a guy's speeding, he can look in the rear vision mirror, see a cop trailing him, call his lawyer, and the three of them can meet at the next intersection. But think what it'll be like later on when cars have telephones and television, too. A guy's driving along, his wife calls up and says, "Honey, bring home a head of lettuce, some carrots, a cucumber, and get that tomato out of your car."
Washington, D.C. The greatest ovation in the history of the nation's capital greeted President Truman as a crowd of 750,000 cheered his triumphant return to the White House.
Yes, sir, it was at a reception. From every window, they were throwing confetti and old cabinet members. And the world will long remember President Truman's historic words when he returned to the White House. He said, "It's okay, Bess, you can send the laundry out now." When Harry got back to the White House, he started hanging up his coat. Governor Warren stuck his head out of the closet and said, "I'll be out of your way as soon as I pack up my oranges." The Democrats did so well in that election, they're even coming out with new products named after the president. They got a new thing now called the Harry Truman Popsicle. It's a frozen Republican on a stick. And with the election coming out the way it did, a lot of people had to change their plans. Now Margaret Truman has to go back to the White House, and she had it all set to be the fourth Andrews sister. The three candidates have really changed their tune since the election. Truman's changed from Missouri Waltz to It's Magic. Dewey's humming Say It Isn't So, and Wallace is singing On a Slow Boat to China.
Announcing only 8 more days of the Swan 1949 Mercury Contest. Only 8 more days to win a brand new 1949 Mercury automobile. Right now, here are more winners in the Daily Mercury Contest. October 19th, Mrs. Don Andrews of Portsmouth, Virginia.
A new 1949 Mercury.
October 20th, Mrs. B.V. Painter of San Diego, California.
A new 1949 Mercury.
October 21st, Mrs. Arlene Brewster of Topeka, Kansas.
A new 1949 Mercury.
October 22nd, duplicate winners, Mr. Fred S. Balsinger of Denver, Colorado, and Mrs. E.P. Williamson of Honolulu.
Each win a new 1949 Mercury.
October 25th, Mrs. Alvin M. David, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
A new 1949 Mercury.
Congratulations, winners, and remember, folks, there are only 8 more days to enter. Lever Brothers is giving away a Mercury a day every day until November 19th.
That's right, a Mercury a day plus $1,000 in cash awards daily. There's a new contest every day except Saturday and Sunday, and you can enter as often as you please.
All residents of the continental United States, including Alaska and Hawaii, are eligible.
Just be sure to follow the complete rules printed on free entry blanks at your store. And be sure to include your storekeeper's name.
Here's all you do. Finish the following statement. I like Swan soap because, in 25 words or less. Then send a Swan soap wrapper together with your name and address to Lever's Mercury a Day Contest, Post Office Box 3, New York 8, New York.
Well, I swan.
A Mercury a Day.
That's right. Gee whiz.
Bye, Cracky.
Here's the gal who was selected as the Orchid Queen of the National Flower Festival, our singing orchid, Miss Doris Day.
Every day I love you just a little bit more, just a little bit more, a little bit more. Every day I want you just a little bit more. The day before, you'll never guess how deep my love is, not even in your wildest dreams. But just so you get it clear, compared to my love, my dear, the Mississippi River's just a stream. Every day I love you just a little bit more, just a little bit more, a little bit more. Every day I want you just a little bit more than I did the day before, than I did,
than I did
the day.
Thank you, Doris Day. That was great. Next week, Morton Downey, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you probably read in the papers last week that while making a picture at Paramount, Bob Hope tripped and tore a muscle in his right leg. Now let's look behind the scenes and see how an accident like this affects the motion picture industry. We take you to the production offices at Paramount, where the heads of the studio, Henry Geeksberg and Y. Free Frankman, are talking.
Say, YF.
Yes, H.G.?
I've been thinking. We've got a lot of money tied up in that character, Bob Hope. And if his leg doesn't get any better, he may never be in another Paramount picture. How could a thing like that happen to us?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
But YF, what'll we do about Hope? His leg may be broken.
Yeah, too bad he ain't Trigger. We could shoot him.
You know how this accident happened, don't you, YF? Hope was doing that boat scene, and as he tried to get on board, he slipped and fell because somebody had put grease all over the gangplank. You know, it looks like someone is out to get him.
Yeah. Now remember, H.G., if there's an investigation, we're in this thing together.
Well, it seemed like the easy way. And while we're on the subject, YF, we got to get rid of a lot of the actors over here. They're getting too old.
Yeah, how about that Crosby? Remember when we thought we had mice in the studio? We spent $5,000 to get rid of the mice and then found out it was Crosby's joints that were doing the squeaking.
You know, YF, I think Bing is about the same age as Hope.
Yeah, I know it. If we put them in another road picture, the road's got to be downhill. By the way, where's Hope now?
He's over in his dressing room, resting.
Oh, Doris, this pain is awful.
Oh, is it really that bad, Bob? Let me look at your leg. Oh, my gosh, it's all twisted out of shape, isn't it?
That's the wrong leg.
Oh, gee, Bob, I hate to see you in such misery. Does it hurt much?
Well, I don't care about that. I just wish it had been my other knee.
Why?
Well, the knee I hurt is the one with a dimple in it. Now I'll never be able to wear my pedal pushers with a split up the side.
Bob, I just don't understand how a thing like this could happen to you. You're so strong and husky.
Am I?
Yeah, and so loaded with vitality.
Honest?
Sure. Why, I always think of you as being a real He-Man.
You do?
Yes.
I have so much more than Gregory. Why should I fight it? Say, it was sure nice of you to drop in, though, Doris. I want to...
Hello, Doris. Hello, Mr. Hope.
Oh, hello, Miss Ryan.
Hello, Miss Ryan. How do you feel today?
Well, you know me. I always try to keep my chin up, even though my arches are falling. I heard about what happened to Mr. Hope, and I thought I'd come over and cheer him up.
Oh, thanks. You see, I hurt my leg, and I can't move it. It's nothing to worry about.
Oh, I don't know about that. My Uncle Julius had the same thing once in his shoulders. And he couldn't move his arms. The doctor made him leave them in one position.
Oh, that must have been terrible.
Well, it worked out all right. When he died 2 days later, his arms were already folded on his chest.
That's nice. Portia faces life. This gal backs into it.
Bob, you should listen to Miss Ryan. She can help you. She's been through a lot of these things, you know.
Oh, yes. I've never really been all well all my life. That is all of it, you know. And recently, Mr. Hope, it's been much worse. Yesterday, I thought I was losing my mind. All day long, I kept hearing voices in my head.
You were hearing voices in your head?
Yes, but I found out what it was. The battery in my hearing aid was low, and I was still getting the election return.
Well, don't worry. Hoover made it, you know. But it was nice of you to drop in, Miss Ryan.
Well, I do hope you get better. Oh, that reminds me, before I go, I wanted to show you a picture of my Uncle Julius. The one who died.
Well, what do I want to see a picture of him for?
Well, you might get worse. And if you don't pull through, it'll be nice if you know somebody when you get there. Keep your chin up now. Goodbye.
Thanks. If she ever gets married, she'll spend her honeymoon in the window of the Rexall drugstore.
Along too, Bob. I promised High Averback I'd meet him. He's making a screen test over here.
Averback is making a screen test? You mean they've run out of talent?
Well, I think High will do very well in pictures because he just has...
Oh, hello, everybody. Hello, Doris.
Oh, hello, High. Are you all ready for your screen test?
Yes, Doris. I just came from the makeup department.
They didn't get your ears on straight.
At least my lobes are on the bottom. Well, now, Doris, how about running through the screen test with me like you promised?
Okay, hand me the script.
Yeah, now, the scene we're doing takes place in a New York penthouse. We're social leaders and we're married, but we're splitting up. Now, you have the first line, and I want you to pay close attention to my diction.
Montgomery, I'm afraid that you and I are through. It's regrettable, but we can't go on.
Yes, Ellis. I'm so sorry that we must split. But I'm afraid we must go our separate ways.
Don't you think you're carrying too many pounds of pressure there?
Well,
lobes on upside down. Okay, it's all right.
Well, Montgomery, if we're parting... I insist that you give me the house.
You may have the house.
And I want the Cadillac and the two Mercurys.
They're yours, but there's one thing you may not have.
If you're speaking of the children, I want them.
You may have the children, my riches, and my home. But I insist that you leave one thing.
What?
That cake of swan soap in the kitchen.
Jimmy Fiddler will give this picture four bubbles.
Yes, Alice. Alice, take everything, but please, please don't take that swan. Swan is the newer, better white floating soap. Swan never crumples like our dream castles did. No, sir, you can use Swan right down to the last smooth sliver. And why? Because Swan is made by a modern patented process that no other soap can use. A process that makes Swan better for dishes and hands. Swan is as mild as the finest Castile. It protects your hands, keeps them soft and smooth.
He's right. My hands are so soft, when I want to point at anybody, I have to starch one finger.
Oh, Alice. Alice, I can't leave you. Just think, a cake of swan brought us together again. I still love you.
And I love you.
I love you, Alice.
Oh, I love you, Monty.
I'm engaged to the Lever brothers.
Yes, for your hands, your bath, and for baby's bath. Swan is the best soap afloat.
Well, I swan.
Me too.
Yes, sir.
Bye, Cracky.
Our junior crooner we borrowed from the Oasis this week, the 19-year-old Bill Farrell, ladies and gentlemen.
There is no verse to this song, 'cause I don't want to wait a moment too long to say that I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on the faraway shore. Out on the briny with the moon big and shiny, mailing your heart of stone. Yes, I want to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Yes, I want to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. On a real slow boat.
On a real slow boat.
On a slow, slow boat to China.
That's my son from Cleveland, Billy Farrell. Thank you very much. Singing Slow Boat to China. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to present a very different kind of a thing here. We have a thing here. Musicians, please, no tuning while the star is on, please. Now, as I was saying, please. Hey, you, hey, Evelyn, stop with that magic violin.
I resent that.
Well, Jack Benny, ladies and gentlemen. Jack, what are you doing here?
Some surprise. We rehearsed 9 weeks already.
Bob, look it. I heard about your leg, and I thought I'd pay you a visit.
Well, that's swell of you, Jack. But how come you're sitting in with Les Brown's orchestra?
Well, just once I wanted to play in a band and not worry about the leader's breath taking the varnish off my violin.
You don't have to worry about Les. Les hasn't been high since Petrillo picked him up to burp him. But look, it was awfully nice of you to drop in to see me, Jack.
Well, I was sorry to hear about your accident, Bob.
Yeah, really. It's a little uncomfortable, but the worst of it is whenever I hobble down the street, people keep throwing money in my hat.
They do?
Gosh, how embarrassing. That's terrible. That must be awful. Bob, how much do you average a block?
Oh, it varies. But take my advice, Jack. Stay away from Beverly Hills. Nothing but Dewey buttons. But I can't get over how nice it is of you to drop in on me, Jack.
Well, Bob, that's the way it is with us troopers. You know, we show people have to stick together in these times of trouble. Why, as soon as I heard of your accident, I rushed right over here to be the first one at your side.
Jack, you came over just to help me?
Well, yes, yes. Of course, if you buy the insurance policy I have in mind, it helps me a little, too, you know.
Jack, why are you selling insurance?
Well, you see, it's a little early to start unloading my line of Christmas cards.
Well, Jack, I don't get this. You're a wealthy man. You're worth millions of dollars.
Whoops.
Selling insurance, huh? Well, have you got a sample policy you can show me there in your portfolio?
Folio name?
Jack, did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear anything.
You sure you didn't hear that echo?
No, kid, this is your show.
Well, look, Jack, let's face it. This is ridiculous. You don't have to sell insurance. You're a star. They write about you in the Saturday Evening Post. You're one of the outstanding comedians in show business. One of them. You don't mind me throwing that in there, do you?
No, this is still your show.
No, but you're really great, Jack. People stay at home on Sundays just to listen to your radio show.
I have so much more than Fred Allen. Why should I fight?
Say, wait a minute. That's my gag.
I'll trade you for the yodel.
What'll my sponsor say?
Well, I swan.
Me too.
Yes, sir.
Bye, Cracky.
That's right.
Wait a minute.
Gee whiz.
My goodness.
Of course.
And how?
Wait a minute.
I'll say.
Sorry, I'll
you bet.
Hoo-ha.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
By Cracky.
Wait a minute!
Easy, Jack. Either we peddle the stuff this way or I have to put on a pair of water wings and sell it bathtub to bathtub.
My next line is a humdinger. Wait a minute. Bathtub to bathtub, huh? I have trouble with my sponsor, too. That's a dandy line. Thanks, Bob. I rehearsed 4 weeks for that line.
Well, we were going to give you something you could get your teeth into, but we weren't sure you'd have them with you tonight.
You wouldn't dare say that if you were still with Pepsodent, brother. New power.
Let's get back to this stuff, huh?
Now look. We'll never get through with this tonight. Look at. You know, Bob, you know who has
Stand
the
by,
sweetest.
Fibber.
You know who has the sweetest. Page 15. You know who has the sweetest.
I'm not.
You know who has a sweet. Never get off.
Wait a minute.
You know who has. I want to play the violin yet. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Are we still on?
You know okay. Who has the sweetest racket radio, don't you? The disc jockeys.
Disc jockeys? You mean one of those guys who says, this next record is sponsored by the Happy Hunting Ground Funeral Home, and now the orchestra plays, he's a real gone guy?
We haven't got time to wait
See,
for
See, why don't we try. Please, your laughs, not mine. Please. Say, why don't we try our hand at being disc jockey, Jack? All we have to do is make the rounds of the music shops and pick up a couple of hundred records.
Well, I don't know.
For free.
Shoot the wax to me, Max.
We'd be great as a team of disc jockeys. As you say in radio, I can just hear it now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to station SLOB, the biggest on the coast. And now we present Jazzy Jack Benny and Bebop Bob in their original radio record show, Make Believe Washroom.
Hiya, gang. Hiya, Jazz. This is your old disc jockey, Bebop Bob, with another knocked-out record section. It's all on wax and it's real mad. So you kids who want to get your kicks, lace up your boots and latch on to some of this frantic jive that we're going to send swinging your way. Right now, cats, I'd like to turn the mic over to a real hep character, the man who knows all the answers in the world of jazz, that solid jet, my platter partner, Jazzy Jack Benny.
Hacha Bodio Do.
Solid, Jack. And now, before we spin our next platter for you kids, we'd like to tell you the next minute and a half of our show is sponsored by Dr. Capstaff's weight-reducing plan.
We'd like a word with those of you ladies who weigh over 400 pounds. Do you have the feeling that you're being followed? You are. It's you.
And you men over 400 pounds, do you have large stomachs? When you get your shoes shined, do you have to take the bootblack's word for it?
And why not try Dr. Capstaff's weight-reducing pill?
Yes, to take off those extra pounds, try Dr. Capstaff's method. No diet, no pills, no injections, no exercise. Once a week, Dr. Capstaff comes to your house and beats you with a rubber hose. And now we're going to play our first record. It's a little tune called I'm Dancing with Tears in My Eyes Because the Girl in My Arms Had Onions for Dinner.
It's going to be played by Woody Gribbiness, and As You Should Live So Long, if you can find the melody orchestra. Hit it, Woody.
Thanks, Woody. That was great.
Look, Bebop, a bunch of new releases just arrived.
Gee, there's some interesting titles. Look at this one. You used to be the cream in my coffee, but now you're just grounds for divorce.
Get a load of this one. If you were the only girl in the world and I was the only boy, I wonder who I'd play handball with at the Y.
Here's my favorite. Hair of gold, eyes of blue, lips like cherry wine. I never should have stomped on them with my bare feet. Say, suppose we play that one right now.
Okay, but first a word from our sponsor.
Yes, this next record is coming to you through the courtesy of Slushies, the only breakfast cereal that's shot out of a water pistol.
Folks, you'll just love Slushies. They don't snap, crackle, and pop like other breakfast cereals. They just lie there and ooze.
Mothers, you'll cheer when you see the way your kids dive into a bowl of Slushies. They never come up again. Listen to what one happy user of Slushies has to say.
I've been eating Slushies for nigh on to 30 years, and I want to tell you something. I'm getting mighty tired.
Thank you, F.E. Spoon of Battle Creek, Michigan. Say, Jack, what's next on the turntable?
Oh, the folks will just love this one.
Yes, sir. It's a new release that features a duet by that brilliant young Waukegan violinist, Benny Kabelski.
And that new Cleveland singing discovery, The Velvet Smog.
Okay, should we give it a whirl?
Yeah.
Oh, east is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows. Don't bury me in this prairie, take me where the cement grows. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes, and you'll stand out in buttons and bows.
No practicing on our time, please.
I love you in buckskin skirts that you won't stun, but I love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't hold a gun. Now, the buckboard bounce and a cactus hurts my tears. Let's bamboos where gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows, and you're all mine in buttons and bows.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much. You've been fine. That's fine, Jack. Thank you. Next week, ladies and gentlemen. Jack, wait a minute, Jack. We have next week. It's all over, kids. Pack up. Okay. We have another. Next week, we have Morton Downey, ladies and gentlemen. That Coca. Say, okay, Jack. Wait a minute. It's all over, Jack. Jack, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Thanks for the memory of the vote in 48. A chance to demonstrate whom we endorse to chart the course of our U.S. ship of state.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to pay a tribute to that fighting man from Missouri who stepped into the ring last Tuesday with the odds against him and came out the winner and still champion of the USA, President Harry S. Truman.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, is my hair fairest?
best of them all.
It is when you use Rave Cream Shampoo. Rave leaves your hair so clean, so soft, so easy to manage. Easy to manage because the pure lanolin in Rave is specially blended with other important ingredients to make hair behave, even on shampoo day. Try Rave Cream Shampoo. R-A-Y-V-E. Rave Cream Shampoo.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Jack Benny will be Bob's guest on two more upcoming shows, so we'll talk about him in the future. Instead, I want to talk about an event that came up over and over again on today's episode, and that was the 1948 presidential election where Harry Truman defeated Thomas Dewey in an upset. Now, the prior week's episode, which would have aired on November 2nd, 1948, was preempted because of the election. So the whole evening on November 2nd was election coverage. And so there was no Bob Hope show as there normally was on Tuesdays. So November 9th was the first show after the election. And they had a lot of jokes about it. So what was going on? Well, in 1948, the United States had only been out of World War II for 3 years. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had been elected president in 1932, and he won three more times, serving until his death in 1945. That's when Harry Truman, his vice president, assumed the presidency. The Democrats had controlled the presidency and both houses of Congress from 1932 until the midterm elections of 1946, when the Republicans finally won back control of both the House and the Senate. Now, that, combined with very low approval numbers for Truman, meant that everybody, and I mean everybody, thought Truman would lose the election. Thomas Dewey, the Republican candidate, was governor of New York, and he was running strong in the Northeast and the Midwest, and well, pretty much everywhere. And on top of that, two branches of the Democrats, the right and the left, the progressives under Henry Wallace and the Dixiecrats under Strom Thurmond, had rebelled and were running separate candidacies for the presidency, thereby completely fragmenting the Democrat Party. So when election night came, and everybody had thought that it was a hands-down Dewey victory. So much so, in fact, that a pro-Republican newspaper, the Chicago Daily Tribune, I don't know if that exists anymore. I'm pretty sure there's no such thing as a pro-Republican newspaper anymore. Anyway, that newspaper was so sure of Dewey's victory that on Tuesday afternoon, before any of the polls had even closed, it printed the infamous headline, Dewey defeats Truman, for the following day. And that's the picture that we have up on our website, is a picture of Truman smiling ear to ear, holding the newspaper that says that he was defeated, which of course he wasn't. All this goes to show just how wrong the so-called experts can sometimes be. And this was not the first time the pollsters were wrong, and it was not the last time that the pollsters and conventional wisdom was wrong when it comes to elections. Well, so maybe now understanding a bit more of what had happened the previous week makes all the jokes a little more comprehensible, makes a little more sense of the jokes about the election and the pollsters. Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Wednesday for another episode of the Bob Hope Show, and check in on Friday for the next installment of The Life of Riley. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com. Click on the Become a Patron button or the Donate button to support our show. It's much needed and much appreciated. Thank you. Until we meet again. In the words of, well, who else? Harry Truman. It is amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit.